people of England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. I hope you're all well. So, not done a video for a while, so I thought I'd do a little video, put it on Telegram. My Facebook ban will be up in about 2 days, but it's a Liberty Tactics podcast over the weekend. Quite fitting to say that it's going to be on bank holiday, not bank holiday, November the 5th. Which is when the infamous Guy Fawkes, who wasn't really the fella who were trying to blow up Parliament, it was a group of people, and he was just the fall guy. He was the patsy, unfortunately, that took the fall. But infamously tried blowing up Parliament. Now, what a better world we would be living in if that happened. Realistically, take it back 100 years, 150 years to an other realm that we lived in, which has been covered up and hidden. The history, which is when you think about it and you look into it, I'll tell you what you need to look into quickly, but I'm not going to dwell on this. But look into a place called Tartaria, it was a different realm, it was like a different empire, and it's only 150 years old. But the Smithsonian's and the Vatican did a massive cover up, yeah, and covered up a massive part of our history. Why they covered it up? Well, because of the technology that we had back then, it surpasses completely what they tell us that we had. And they don't want us to know about the free energy systems and grids and networks that we had. Because my mate Rockefeller came along with oil and started lobbying all the governments, and now all that changed. And we had a massive cataclysm of something. And we had a load of mud floods for some reason. And the more I think about it, the more it makes sense. But these mud floods kind of covered a load of our history up and buried it underground. And then they just kind of built on top of what was left. And it happened round about the back end of the 1800s. Now, when I think about it and I look at the United States Patent Office and I look at all the patents that have been put there, for manipulation apparatus, for weather manipulation, and tools and patents and ideas and experiments that have all been sort of documented at the beginning, at the back end of the 1800s, early 1900s, it kind of makes sense that they've gone, right, okay, we're going to have the controllers of the world, because let's be right, it's not governments. There's a controlling hand on planet Earth, and those that know that know that. But they kind of just wiped out history and then took it out of the textbooks and things like that. But there's a lot of evidence that's still there. So have a look at the mud floods and have a look at Tartaria. However, I want to talk about this dickhead now that we've got in power, Rishi Sunak, yeah? Because you do know that he's a World Economic Forum groomed puppet. There, just like Justin Trudeau. Just like Macron, just like Jacinda Ardern, just like Boris was, just like Tony Blair was, just like Bill Gates is, and all these people that are groomed. And just bear with me. That are groomed to be put into these positions of power, so or self-proclaimed power or office, the head of state. Apart from the king or the prime minister, the premier, the president, whatever you want to call them, but the people that are supposed to make the decisions. I like to call them the chief lord, the head lord to the treasury, the Bank of England, because that's what they are. Or that's what our fella Rishi Sunak is, who works for the Bank of England. Now, this fella is going to take us one step closer, and I'm going to post a video down underneath. You've probably all seen it anyway, where he talks about the CBDCs, the central bank digital currencies. Now, this is the small step forward now after the fucking chaos and mayhem and destruction of most people's wealth and health towards the social credit system, cashless society, which we've been screaming about for fucking decades, yeah? And they're doing it one small step. So now, he's the one that's going to take us forward into that era. So what we're going to expect, we're going to expect basically a beginning where they're going to push this out to the most vulnerable of society, the most needy of society, the people that the Rely upon, excuse me, the people that rely upon the government, people that are disabled, people that are in poverty, people that can't work, basically people that are elderly, those kind of people that rely upon the system. And they're going to bring out some form of voucher, digital voucher system of cash to pay them in. Because they've already got these people there. So they're going to take advantage of it because that's what the governments are there to do. They're not there to look after people and property anymore. They're there to rape and pillage people and property. So what they're going to do is they're going to roll this out onto the most vulnerable and the most needy of society. So it's going to be a programmable currency, which is basically just, it's going to be used by blockchain, and it's going to be programmable. And what do I mean by programmable? It means that you can only spend it on certain things that they, the government, that's got your best interests at heart, remember that, yeah, will only allow you to spend on essential things. Things like food, things like gas and electric. So things like your car, your petrol, your insurance, your, I don't know, your other bits and bats that you use, you're not going to be able to use your passport, you're not going to be able to renew all these kind of things because the money that you're going to be getting, or the systematic credit, programmable credit vouchers that you're going to be getting, are not going to be able to be spent like cash. So this is one small step of bringing the social credit system in, phasing out cash. Now, don't forget, listen, while we was all in lockdown in 2020 for the first 6 months, they were putting up new systems, monitoring camera systems all over the fucking country, all over the traffic lights, all over the main junctions, not just in built-up cities, but in urban areas as well. And even in the countryside, they've been putting these masts up, this network of camera systems, this biometric scanning system, so they're gonna know if you're trying to spend your credit systems, not only are they going to know what you're trying to spend your credit on or what you're only allowed, but they're also going to know exactly where you are. Yeah. Now, what the idea is to get people within a mile distance of where they need to go, and that's where they want them to be dependent and rely upon the system, which is there to basically manipulate, control, and destroy freedom and the way of how humans should live, which is wrong as it is now, but we won't go there. So let's talk about things like central bank digital currencies, which are very much round the corner now, people. And I said they're going to try and phase cash out about 15, 20 years ago. Those guys that know me well know that I've been screaming about this for years. Do not let them get rid of cash. Because once they get rid of cash, that's going to be your freedom. Now, those that are going to get universal credit, they're not going to be able to use the car anymore because they're not going to be able to finance it. So they're going to have to go back to walking or public transport or maybe get a scooter. And again, just going back to Tartaria, the mud floods, back end of the 1800s, these guys had hydro fucking powered scooters. They had electric scooters. Yeah. They had fucking scooters that run on hydrogen, that run on fucking water, yeah, as well as electric scooters. They had an electric system where they could tap out of the ether, you know, like Tesla did. Well, they harnessed that technology, yeah, and then they used it to give them free energy. And that society, that civilization that was there, spent their time innovating and practicing being good to other people instead of running around like nutters, stressed out of their heads, thinking if I don't fucking do this and I don't do that, I can't live and I can't put a roof over my head and I can't feed my children, and stress, which is the way that it's designed to be, if you haven't got that already. So this digital currency, what's going to happen is you're going to get so many credits that you can only spend. Now it gets even worse, because if you've not spent them within your allocated month that you've got to spend them, they're going to take them back. So it's not like you can save anything and maybe do a bit of bartering. They're just going to completely fucking dictate what you eat and where you can go. by limiting your mode of transport. So I've told you before that by the end of 2030, there's going to be Dublin, yeah, no, not Dublin, Belfast, Glasgow, Heathrow. That's your lot, yeah. Rest of them are going. The rest are going. I promise you that, yeah. So this is going to disappear if you don't spend this fucking money, yeah. It's going to, but this is where the trickery and fuckery happens, yeah. Because what they're going to do, well, what you don't spend, they're going to use that to incentivize their taxpayer to dip their toe. So what they're doing is they're throwing a curveball in to get in the working class as well. So there's going to be like a bonus payment system used from the money that's recovered that's not spent. Now, don't forget that they're going to tell you what you can eat, and very shortly it's going to be programmable because he's already spoke about it as Rishi Sunak on the video that I'm going to post under this video about things being programmable. So basically, can't buy a packet of crisps, ding, you can buy an apple. You can't buy a crate of lager. Ding! You can buy some water. Yeah. You can't buy a packet of fags. Ding! You can buy some chewing gum. You get what I'm saying here, people? Yeah. It's all part of this sustainability of by 2030, you'll earn nothing but be happy. Yeah. They're trying to break the human soul down into a point of desperation, because when people get to a point of desperation, they'll do anything. And that's just the nature of how we are when our backs are up against the fucking wall. It's just human nature. We look for any way to get out of the horrible situation that we're in. And given a solution, which if you haven't sussed out Hegelian dialectic, they've run this fucking riot completely on Hegelian dialectics, because they've created all these problems in the world so they can see the reaction and offer the solution. Not just COVID, all the wars, 9/11, the whole lot, yeah. Problem, reaction, solution. We've got a problem. Let's cause a reaction and offer a solution. The Greeks were masters of the Hegelian dialectic. So, back to workers' bonus reward systems, which are going to be shared and distributed to all the workers for the working and contributing to the system for that year. Kind of like a tax rebate. Do you know what I'm saying? Also, in real time, the central bank, yeah, watch the video, is going to be able to dictate and stop and trap you. It's going to know exactly where you are, it's going to know exactly what you bought, whether it be a ticket, and don't forget they're watching from all this network that they've put up all over the place. So this is what Rishi Sunak's going to bring to the plate. I promise you it's going to probably happen by around about April, because that's when the new financial year is, and that's when they're going to say, right, okay, let's put our toe in the water with this. Because they're wanting to get people on universal credit, they're wanting to get as many people stuck and dependent and rely upon the system. Don't forget how many people have had their businesses destroyed, how many people have lost their jobs because they won't go get fucking poisoned, how many people have lost loved ones, yeah, that are now at a point of distress and despair and depression. And they know that because they've caused it all, and they want an amnesty. They want an amnesty. We should show them amnesty. That's what we should show them. And just sort of going off at a fucking tangent. Matt Hancock. Oh my God. I hope the British public give you hell. The hell that you deserve. And I hope somebody in that place pulls you up on midazolam and remdesivir, you nasty, horrible little man. Fucking Nazi, and when you look at it, it's the Nazis are the oligarchs. They just regrouped and thought, right, we're going to change his ways. And the Nazis are the Morgans and the Rockefellers, and the Warburgs. The Nazis, they're the Nazis, yeah. And you know the Rothschilds, all that kind of shit. So, just to sort of digress a little bit there, but people need to be aware that this central bank digital currency is one step closer to the social credit system, and it's as simple as that. So I'll leave you with that thought, because I've waffled on a little bit too long, 15 minutes. But have a think about what you can do. Well, what you can do is just use cash all the time and we're off of the system, do not contract with it, do not consent to it, yeah, do not agree or agree, do not say yes or no, yeah, do not say anything, do not engage with it, yeah, start spending his cash, start using your cash, and start going to small, medium, independent businesses away from as many corporations as you can, and start using cash, give them the cash, they need the fucking cash, they need to be able to use cash and not declare it all to the fucking thieving, because that's what tax is theft of a man's labour, tax is theft of a man's fruits of his labour, that's what tax is, yeah, it's not this thing that helps the fucking people, is it? Fuck, over 900 billion in taxes, over 900 billion in taxes, and we can't even afford to eat or heat. Yeah, I think people need to sharply wake up to this shit, yeah? Incidentally, just going on at a tangent and digressing again, you do know that the National Grid, is, well, most of you do now, yeah? But it's paid for and owned by the public. I'll let you think about that one. So, just think about the social credit system that we're getting closer to by the day, by 2025. I would imagine that they'll like probably a good 30% of the United Kingdom locked in to this system by 2030. The rest, you'll have nothing and be happy by 2030. So that's what I'm predicting. And I saw it coming when they put Liz Truss in, and I thought, well, she ain't gonna last long. I didn't even think she'd, I thought she'd have lasted a little bit longer, to be fair. I thought they'd have given her Christmas so she could have had a party and been the one to have a party down the street instead of the one sat on top of the photocopier. Do you get me? Yeah. So, it's happened quicker than what I fucking thought. But that's what I reckon is going to happen very shortly. And we're going to start seeing it. They're already pushing it on the TV. They're already pushing it. I made it on the radio. Digital currencies. Yeah, central bank digital currencies. So they're pushing it out into society like they do with stuff to normalise it. So people are used to it. Once you're used to something, it's not so much of a shock. Oh, by the way, we're going to come along and take your car off you. Because you've been used to the last 10 years of fucking getting slaughtered by the system, which is there to benefit a handful of oligarchs that are managing to basically run the fucking world. Get your head around that one. A handful of people, not your Bill Gates, not your billionaires, they're not the real, real people, not your Larry Finks, not them people. They are the oligarchs, but the powers behind them, the deeper, darker energies, which are feasting off humanity's fever and low vibration. I'll leave you with that. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Love, light, and peace.
I'm proud to say that under the UK's presidency, the group of the world's seven most advanced economies, the G7, is launching a set of public policy principles for retail central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. Central bank digital currencies could be a digital version of money, a bit like a digital banknote that could be used alongside physical notes and coins. Unlike most of the digital money people use daily today, it would be issued directly by a central bank, like the Bank of England in the UK. And governments and central banks across the world are working together, looking into what having a digital currency might mean in practice. This includes issues that people care about, such as ensuring users' money would be safe and secure, that it could work with other ways to pay, would be energy efficient and available to everyone. A potential CBDC could offer businesses and consumers new ways to pay in the future. It's all part of the wider story of digital innovation that has delivered benefits to millions around the world and in the UK. The decision on whether to launch a central bank digital currency is for each country to make, and no G7 jurisdiction has yet made that choice. These decisions raise important questions about the reshaping of our economy, financial systems, and the way in which people interact with money and payments. That's why working together and careful evaluation with our international partners is essential. In the UK, earlier this year, I announced a new joint task force between the Treasury and the Bank of England to look into a potential CBDC as a complement to cash and bank deposits. We're also hearing from firms, technology experts, and others. Under the leadership of the UK, this report today will help support and inform exploration of CBDCs in the G7 and beyond. With these principles, the G7 is leading an important step change in the global policy conversation. The report covers a range of important matters, such as financial stability, cyber resilience, energy efficiency, privacy, inclusion, and tackling illicit finance. These factors should all be considered when designing and potentially delivering a CBDC that would be fit for the future. Our shared objective is to ensure that CBDCs would be grounded in long-standing commitments to transparency, the rule of law, and sound economic governance. The G7 will continue its work in this important area, working with others to enhance understanding and use of these principles. We're excited to be taking a leading role with G7 members in publishing this exploratory work, bringing money and finance into the 21st century.